Hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands as hard and as loud and as fast as you possibly can. Come on, clap to the Lord in this sanctuary tonight. If you believe he's God, come on, why don't you clap like it for a few seconds here? Come on, if you believe he's king, why don't you clap your hands like it tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, yes. Glory to God. Come on, for a few more seconds. Come on, for a few more seconds. Let's just clap in this sanctuary. Let's make this place roar with our hand clappings here tonight. Lord, we need you to speak to us. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Speak to our situation. All we need is a word from you, Lord. Glory to the name of Jesus. He is God. And beside him, there is no other. Glory to God. We serve the true and living God. The songs say God is still on the throne. Within your bosom, you have a phone. Whenever you walk, you're not walking alone. Why? Because God is still on the throne. I'm happy that I serve a God that cannot be elected. Because if he's able to be elected, he's able to be put out of office at some point. So I'm happy and I'm thankful that we serve a God that is God and not contingent upon any circumstances at all. Not based on being voted in or out. I'm happy about that. I believe in the economy. I believe in what you call it. What do we have here? What kind of system we have? What is it? Democracy. Thank you, brother. Democracy. I'm happy that we have a democracy. We're able to vote in candidates. But I'm happy that God is God. I'm happy about it. I am. I'm thankful about it. Amen. We serve a mighty God, don't we? I have a lot of scriptures here to read, so I don't know which one I'm going to pick first. That's just, I didn't get a chance to turn these into the scripture, guys. So I hope you actually have your Bible here tonight. Or maybe he'll be fast enough to put them up on the board as we go along. But while you're standing so diligently, let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for this time we have here together tonight to share your word. Lord, I pray that you would give me understanding as I impart to these people, these wonderful group of saints here tonight, your word that you have given me. I pray you give us a revelation, Lord, that can open our hearts to receive your word. And most important, Lord, I pray whatever is spoken, that it is directly, oh God, in the spirit, in Jesus' name, I speak clearly, and that it will be received and fall on good ground, I pray. In Jesus' name, clap your hands again, everybody. Glory to God. Praise the name of Jesus. You can be seated. Thank you, Lord. God is God. Amen. Get on to the ministry. Our pastor, who's absent tonight, I don't think Sister Kyle is in here either. I don't know if she's in here or somewhere else. To his wife and their children and our ministry, assistant pastor and youth pastor and all the ministry in their respective places, and to their wonderful wives. To my dear wife, I think she's here, yeah, back there in the back. Thank God for all you wonderful saints and Christian people here tonight. I pray that I be received in the right spirit. Hallelujah. I've never heard this talk before, so I'm glad we have ministry here tonight to verify and to, confirm what is being said here by myself, the Holy Ghost. Thriving and surviving. I think we're going to talk about these topics. I didn't know how to arrange it, so I just put thriving and surviving. Or however you want to arrange that on the CD, Brother Todd, you can put that however you choose. Surviving and thriving or thriving and surviving. Whichever one you choose to do it that way. We're going to speak about these two things tonight. But let's read the scripture first. 3 John, the second verse, I should say. It only has one chapter. 3 John, the second verse, it says something like, Beloved, I wish above all, thank you, Brother Todd. Beloved, I wish above all things that that man prosper and be in health, even as what? Thou what? Your soul is your what class? Your spirit. We understand that the human body or the human person or the human is made of three different parts. However you want to put that, we have mind, which is our intellect. We have our heart, which is our emotion. And we have our soul, which is our spirit. It's okay. I heard somebody about to say it. and then he get it all out. So your soul is your spirit. So he could have, that word spirit could be interchanged for spirit or soul and spirit. They're kind of interchangeable at different times in the scripture. So you can put spirit there if you choose, or you can just leave it as being soul. But there are the two words are interchangeable. So even as thy spirit or thou soul prosper. So this is a letter to Jonah is writing this to one of the churches. He's saying, I do wish that you prosper and be in health, even as thou soul prosper. So he's saying, I want you to be blessed, and I want you to, you know, to experience life abundantly. But he's putting something attached to that. I'm going to jump right into it. Don't have very much time, and I want to really cover that. I believe God has spoke to my heart to share this with us. So let's move kind of fast here. It says, even as thou soul prosper. Solomon said in Proverbs, he said that an unjust balance is an abomination to God. Other words, a balance is what God is seeking, or I should say God is desiring. And here, John is pitting this in literary. He's saying that I not only want you to prosper in your body, he said, but I want you to prosper spiritually. Because for the Christian, we understand and believe that it's if you are just prospering in your body or in way of natural and secular and things that we can obtain in this world, and we're not prospering spiritually, then it's really to no avail at all. But John is saying that I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prosper there. Thriving. Let's talk about thriving for a few minutes here. Thrive simply means to grow vigorously. To grow vigorously, blossom, to shoot up, to flourish, to rise, to bear fruit, to increase, radiate, to shine, to prosper, as we read here, to succeed, to do well, turn out well, or simply, it says, to make progress. We're going to refer to them again, so I just went through them kind of fast that time. Thriving, and I think you will agree with me, we just read the scripture, and we'll read some more as we go along here, but I think we can all agree in accordance that God wants his people to prosper. God wants his people to be blessed. God wants his people to succeed and to do well as in all these things that we read about thriving. Because I believe with all of my body and with all of my spirit that God didn't call us to earth to simply survive. God then put us here just simply to maintain. God then put us here simply just to be here. You know, we used to sing that song, I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain. And as a child, I used to hate it because it sounded sad. And now I hate it more because I understand it. I don't believe God called us to be experiencing, you know, these mountain type of experience our entire life. I just simply don't believe it. I don't think God called us here to simply survive, but I think God has called us here and put us here for such a time as this, but to what? Grow vigorously, to blossom, to shoot up, to flourish, to rise, to bear fruit, and to increase, to radiate, to shine, to prosper, succeed, do well, and make progress. Church, say, make progress. Glory to the name of Jesus. Survive. Survive, surviving. Survive means to outlive, to outlast, to live down. Man, it is really, really hot. I think Brother Kyle gave me permission to take the jacket off. So excuse me, guys. Survive means to outlive, to outlast, to live down, to weather the storm. Listen to this. This is survive. I want to go slow tonight. To weather the storm, to make out, to persist. Now these things sound good, you know, from the outlook, because it sounds like, you know, we want to outlive, we want to outlast and live down and to weather the storm. Simply means to get through it, not just, you know, be like the ant and succeed in time of storm or in time of winter, but to also to you know, but God wants us to thrive and not just do these things that survive is talking about here. But let's read the definition completely. It says to persist. I thought this was kind of funny. It says, to keep the wolf away from the door. This is what survived me. And this is what it seems as if the Christian mind or attitude. Now, understand me correctly. I want everyone to understand me correctly. I understand the scriptures and what the Word of God speaks about are the storm and trials and all that we live godly, we'll suffer persecution. I understand them scriptures, but I don't think that God pit us here according to the scripture that we're going to read. I'm building a case that maybe you can help me out in a little while, that God pit us here to simply to keep the wolf away from the door. I don't plan to just keep the wolf away from my door, but I want to chase him out of my neighborhood also. I don't want to just keep him from out of my neighborhood, but if I can get him out of my city, I'd be even happier. Matter of fact, if I can get him as far away as humanly possible, that's my desire. I don't want to just pick a snake up out of my kitchen and throw him in my living room because I got my child in there and my wife is in the other room. But I want to take the snake by the neck and grab that joker and throw him as far as possible. We need to get past this stuff where I'm just going to pick him up. I'm just going to throw him in the front door. So when he crawl back in again, I'm going to pick him up again and I'm just going to throw him in the front door. No. I believe the scripture says that the gates of hell shall not prevail. Other words, we're not going to bring the fight. We're not going to allow the devil to bring the fight to our front door, but we're going to carry the fight to his front door. We're not going to just be defensive, but we're going to be offensive. I'm not just going to pray that God let me stay safe. I'm going to pray that God let me save my neighbor and let me save my brother and let me save my colleague, because God has called us to thrive. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Getting ahead of myself, but I feel the anointing in here already. Praise the name of Jesus. Keep the wolf away. Pull through. Live through. Get through. Come through. Excuse me. And keep afloat. That's where surviving means. I'm just going to get through and come through. Now, there's a sharp contrast, church, between, and this is a point I want to make very, very clearly. When I speak of thriving, I'm not speaking of it in worldly standards. I'm not speaking of it according to what the world or what secularization or what Hollywood say is thriving or succeeding. You understand? Because they say that a person is succeeding or a person is doing well if they have the car of their dreams. You understand? They say, well, I'm doing well, or this person is succeeding because he have the biggest house in the neighborhood. This is what they're saying. Or if you have your wife is doing perfectly fine, your children is making straight A's in school, they're never sick, they're doing perfectly fine, you have the six-figure job of your dreams, and every weekend you get to go to Bahamas and kick back on the beach, or maybe you have a private jet where you can go and fly around the world, maybe you got a pair of shoes and a suit for every day and week and month and of the year, or whatever the case may be. You understand, this is what the world call thriving. And I don't know when, church, I love this group of people, so please take this in kindness. I don't know when we allowed the world measuring stick to be put in the church. I don't know when we allowed the world measuring stick to measure us. You know, allow us to be measured by things that we have and do not have. Things that we possess and do not possess. You can't look at me and say I'm thriving or I'm simply blessed because my car is the kind of car that it is. Or maybe the kind of suit that a person have on, church. When do we allow the measuring stick to be put from the word of God and put it in the hands of this Hollywood, of this media, of these actors, of these singers? No! That's not the way. That's not the word of God. Brother Luma talked about it a few weeks ago about comparing ourselves with others and comparing our church with others and comparing our music with others. I don't think that's the guideline. Paul said, we are not like those who measure themselves with themselves. But it seems as if now, yes, it seems as if now. I remember some while ago, the preacher talking about it years ago. I was in Goldsboro at a convention, and the preacher, had been suffering and had been going through for a long time. And he said the Lord finally blessed him to have a Cadillac. Somebody gave him a Cadillac. And he said, another guy walked up to him, another minister, and said, man, you look like a preacher now. He said, what?
Man, after the stuff I done been through, I done lost my house. I done went bankrupt trying to build a church, and half my church left me when I decided to follow God, and you tell me now I look like, yes, yes, because you understand that's not biblical. It's not Christian. It's American. Yes, it is. It's American because we judge a person's prestige or a person's status according to what they have and according to what they do not have. They're not judged according to their spiritual capacity or their ability to believe and trust and have faith in God. But we are judged simply by how a person look and how a person don't look. But I beg to differ with you. Hallelujah. The Bible says that God judges the inside. Man's judges the outside. Thank you, Jesus. When do we allow it to be based upon outward things? Because you understand, if we use this, we have to be fair. We can't just use it to us and among us. We got to really go through the scriptures. And we got to look at all the prophets and the men of God. And we got to judge what they had and what they didn't have. And we have to use the standards that we're using now to call them successful or unsuccessful. Let's just be fair, right? Wherein, if you follow the life of these prophets and non-prophets alike, their happiness and their attitude, Brother Malachi, was never based on what they had and what they did not have. Well, what about Abraham, brother? Abraham was a man that had riches and had a lot of things and had this. And wasn't he a man of God? Of course he was. But when God spoke of him, his relationship to Abraham, he didn't say because he had the prettiest wife of the times. He didn't say because he had the most sheep and the most oxen or the most men servants. The Bible says that Abraham was called a friend of God because of his what? Faith. The Bible says that he believed God and he was reckoned to him as righteousness. God looked at us and he see us for what we have to offer him. If we continue to go through the scripture, and I just don't have time. I wish I had more, but I don't. And go through the scripture and we just judge people of what they had. Jeremiah. The Bible told Jeremiah, God told Jeremiah, he said, I'm going to send you in the midst of a stiff-necked people. He said that they're not going to receive your message. They're not going to believe you. They're going to say, man, this guy is crazy. And this guy preached till he wept and cried, church, until he became teary-eyed, until at one time he actually just gave up. He said, man, listen, I'm through with this. I'm just going to sit down. These people ain't hearing me. They're not receiving the word. Because, you know, even us Christians do this by churches. Man, my brother used to tell me, look at this guy at church. He must be doing something for God. Look at the people. Look at the cars. Look at, you know, how everyone look. The Bible says that Jeremiah never had an audience. Brother, the one time he was put down to a pit, the only person he could depend on was a eunuch that was in the kingdom, an Ethiopian guy. After he had been lured into the pit. Now listen. If we had looked at Jeremiah and said, well, listen, how many he's running a Sunday? How many can he get to come to the prayer? I mean, how many is he getting to come out to the street or service where they pass? No. Because he wasn't judged by that, Sister Wolcott. He wasn't judged by his ability to pull people out. He wasn't judged by the things that he had. Now, I want the church to understand me. I'm in no way preaching a poverty doctrine. Please understand me correctly. The Lord, that's why I read the scripture the first time before I started. The Lord do want us to be blessed. He do want us to experience things that we can afford, so on and so on. But what I am simply saying is that we cannot judge. We cannot look at one another with these worldly standards, with this worldly measuring stick, and compare a person's spiritual capacity. The Bible says that when Job was in the beginning, when we all know the story of Job, the majority of us at least do, the Bible says that Job went through all this stuff, and we know he lost this much, and I believe he was sick or impoverished or had the sores on his body for 38 years. You understand God's relationship to him did not change? God never spoke more lowly of him when he was destitute or had the sores over his body. God never said, oh, Job, man, you are a backslider. Oh, man, you're this. Now, I bear you. He may have had to correct him because the Bible says that every son God accepts, he chastens. And we all get chastened, but God never spoke foul or never spoke toward Job as in a way of even disobedience. I'm sure we have read the story. But guess who did look at him in a way of disobedience? Guess who said, Job, you must have sinned because when, you know, man, I remember you had all these children that was healthy and you had all these oxen and you had all these sheep and you had the biggest house and, man, you throw these big parties in it and everybody knew Job as being a wealthy, successful. He probably would have been in the Fortune 500 company right now if Brother Wilson, if he was out. I think he would have been looked upon as probably one of the most successful men. So you understand, when he had his friends was looking at him as being some spiritual guru when he had these things. But when God had reduced him or allowed the enemy to reduce him, them friends, those who was the closest to him, saying, man, you must have messed up with God somewhere. Man, you must have fallen from grace. Man, you must have been walking in disobedience. Man, where is your stuff now? Why? Because they was judging him not because of his spiritual capacity or not because of his spiritual place in God, but it was looking on his outwardness and judging his inwardness. Survive, to outlive, to outlast, live down, weather the storm, make out, persist, keep the wolf away from the door, pull through, live through, get through, come through, keep afloat. No, that's not what God called us to do. Excuse me, God called us to simply thrive, not just getting by. What are you saying, brother? It sounds as if you're contradicting yourself. You're saying what we shouldn't and shouldn't have, and then over here you're saying that God called us to thrive. Well, you understand, the way God rate thriving is a little different from the way your media rate thriving. It's a little different from the way the Fortune 500 company rate thriving. You understand, God simply looks at the heart of obedience. God weighs you by your ability to trust him. The Bible says that Abraham was called a friend of God because of his ability to trust God. The Bible says that Moses looked face to face to God. Why? Because Moses had found the place, his secret place with God. The Bible says in Psalm 91 that he that dwell in what? In the shadow of the Almighty shall abide in the secret place. When you find the secret place to God, God saying this person is thriving. When you find the place of worship where you can get in God's presence and break through the heavens of heavens and begin to pour your heart out to God, God says this person is thriving. When you have the ability, when you have lost so much, so many things, and maybe you have even lost your job, and you can still come here on a Wednesday evening and bring yourself here as tired as you may be and still clap your hands and still put your hands in the air, I want to tell you, church, that you are thriving. Why? Because the devil thought that when you lost your job, Brother Malachi, you was going to stop coming to church. But the Kwashi, the devil thought, maybe if I take his ability to provide for his family, maybe I can get him to stop coming to prayer. The devil thought, Brother Luma, maybe if I can take some things from him, I can get him to stop seeking God. But what he did not know is that you wasn't simply surviving, but that you were hallelujah. Because if you were just surviving, when you lost your job, you would have stopped coming to church. If you were just simply surviving, when your family walked out, you would have stopped coming to church. But I'm so happy that I belong to a church that is not just surviving, but you are thriving.
Please be seated. I want to go a little farther here. Hallelujah. Thank you. Surviving means the first trial that comes is going to move me. Because it says to just simply keep the wolf away. Wolf, shoo from my front door.
Well, then I tell you to shoot for my front door. Are you still here, Wolf? Then I tell you to shoot for my front door. That's surviving. You ain't really tired of that wolf being there yet. You ain't really got tired of that thing yet. It ain't made you mad enough yet. It ain't got on your last nerve like my mama used to say. You come outside with your 12 gauge in your hand and say, I told you for the last time, get away from my roof. I don't mean a physical 12 gauge. I mean getting on your face before God and say, Lord, I'm dependent upon you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Hallelujah. I'm talking about becoming desperate. I'm talking about just praying in the spirit. The Bible said that the kingdom of God suffer violence, and the violence take it by force. I'm not just going to keep the wolf away, but I'm going to chase that joker, not just from my house, but from your house. Not just from your house, but from your house. From your house. And you go chase him from his house. Hallelujah. The Bible says that if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Hallelujah. I'm not just surviving. I'm not just here, but I'm happy to be here. I'm not just going to come and sit, but I'm going to come and clap too. And while I'm clapping, I believe I sang while I'm clapping. While I'm clapping and singing, Brother Hanson, I believe I'll move my feet just a little bit. While I'm moving my feet a little bit, I might just wiggle my head a little bit. Hallelujah. Because I'm not just thriving. Hallelujah. I'm not just surviving, but I'm thriving. Thriving people depend on external things to support their internal growth. What is it, 8:04? What time do I start, brother? I forgot. They depend on natural blessings to accommodate who they are in God. I really don't have time. In other words, if God do this for me, Brother Mackey, then I'll shout. When God heal my body, then I'm a clap. See, y'all got stuff to clap about, but y'all don't know what I've been through. So when God do for me what he have done for you guys or y'all, then I'll shout. But I'm facing so much. Nobody know the troubles I see. Is that a worldly song? Hope it's spiritual. Nobody know. I'm thinking of a different thing, brother. So when God elevate me, because you know I need a job, I need finances, then I come run around with the brothers and sisters. That's a saint. That's surviving. Listen to me. When you're simply surviving, you constantly need external blessings. We all need blessings, don't get me. Don't misunderstand me. I love to be blessed. I would love a raise and all that other stuff. But that's not where, in other words, my joy is not contingent. Do we understand each other? It's not based on external blessings. We have to move past this natural gratification. In other words, when and if God decides to do these things for me, then will I praise him. Then when I give a sacrificial offering, because it's easy to give 10, I just got $1,000. It's easy for me to do all these things when I just receive so many other natural blessings. So you guys go ahead and do your thing, and I'm gonna wait. I love you, church, but that's surviving. Let me tell you what happened. At some point in your spiritual life, as Brother Wolcott said last Wednesday, you're going to go to this thing called desert. I'm not going to talk about it because he did. Wherein you may not receive a natural blessing per se. You may even lose your job.
A loved one may even die. God forbid. It may even get to a point where you happen to work 2 and 3 jobs. What happens to your thankfulness? God never intended for the Christian believer to walk solely on blessings. He never meant in Scripture. Let me read some more scriptures because, listen, Romans 8:37. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. I'll give you the one run. 2 Corinthians 2:14. And make it manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. But the point I like is our triumph is in Christ. He is the source of our strength. Church, we have to learn and trust and depend only on God. I'm not just preaching this from my head knowledge. Absolutely not. I have experienced, just like you have experienced things, maybe even more than I have. But we have experienced this, my wife and I. And I'm sure you have, maybe more. Brother Walcott and people who have just have victorious triumph in God. I'm sure we're not the only one. But when this time comes, church, that is when spiritual elevation is received. Listen to this. You do not mature in times of blessings. In times of great victory, it's not when maturity comes. But God told Moses, he said, I sent you this way that I may try you and grow you and mature you. God didn't have to send Israel that long way around to get to Canaan. That was a way they could have got there almost in a couple of days. But God said, no, I carried you this way so that I can mature you, so you can grow. During my time of transition, I think I grew more in that little time than I think I've ever grown in any other time of my life. I submit to you, times of transition, time of opposition, it's not an easy, smiling, ice cream time. But church, we would never grow more. There would never be more maturity. There would never be more spiritual growth than during time of opposition, during time of adversity, and during time of trial. That's why Paul was one of the most effective apostles. He said, I have passed all of my contemporaries, but read his biology, read his autobiography. This many times I suffer shipwreck. This many times I was beat. This many times, and this many times, no other apostle that is biblically recorded had suffered more than Paul. But on the other hand, no other apostle went to Arius and did things like Paul had done. No other man wrote more books in the New Testament than Paul. He was a man of complete victory. God had used him in ways that he could not even speak of. But read how he obtained it. He did not obtain it during time of abundance. He did not obtain it during time of blessings. He did not obtain it during time of victorious experiences. But he grew the most during time of opposition. You want to grow? Get in your trial. Because like Brother Walcott say all the time, either you're going through one or you are in one. I said, man, if I had a dollar for every time he said, no, I love you, brother. When you get there, this is a secret. I'm going to write a book about this. This is going to be 2 or 3 pages long. In the middle of your opposition, it's going to be on the first page. In the middle of your trial, this is so deep, it's going to blow y'all away. In the middle of your adversity, whatever you're facing, pray. That's deep, ain't it? Dance like you have never danced before. Worship with all of your heart. Worship with all of your strength. Worship with all of your voice. Shout unto the shout to God with the voice of victory. Hallelujah. Give when you just lost your job.
I just lost my job. I just got demoted. But man, I feel like planting a seed offering. I feel like blessing the ministry. I feel like blessing Brother Kyle. I feel like blessing Sister Kyle. Brother, I don't know what you're going through, but can I give you $20? Brother, you and your wife, y'all just worship God so much. Can I pray, take y'all out to dinner? They say, man, he must have got a blessing. No, actually, I just got demoted. Brother, can I just, man, I just love your wife and yourself so much. My wife want to know, can we carry y'all out to get a burger or get some ice cream or get a cup of coffee? And then when you get back home, you got to count the number. 1/4, 2/4. We got enough, baby? Oh, no, how many times? I didn't did that. Well, the Doug Klein, I know he was in the spirit when he said, I put mine in my mouth too much. I said, yeah, we'll take a gas out to eat, no problem. We get in the car, kitchen, said, baby, with what? Got to borrow some money from my friends to get on. We actually have done that before. Just being honest. That's maturity. That's growth. 1 John 5:4 said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Whatsoever is born of God, or I should say whosoever, is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory. Thank you, brother. And this is the victory. What is the victory? Is that we overcome. For whosoever or whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory to overcome the world. Tell me, how do we do it? By our faith. Faith is not what you can see. The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is what you have no idea of. That's what thriving is. Thriving is saying, listen, I have no idea what's going to happen to me when I get home. But when I get to church, I might have had to borrow money to pay my gas tank to get here. I have no idea how my water is going to get paid and how I'm going to pay my mortgage and how I'm going to pay my rent. But when I get to church, they're going to think I just found $1 million. This is not shallow. This is not shallow at all. This is not for babies. This is for mature Christians. I'm not talking to you if you just became a Christian. You have to grow into this. But when I get to church, I'm going to dance for him. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to praise him because I'm thriving right now. This is the victory. To overcome the world, even our faith. One more scripture, and I'm closing. Romans 8:37. Hope I'm helping somebody. Romans 8:37. Yes. In all these things. Hallelujah. I got this on the side of my bed right here. It's in my nightstand. In all these things, we are more than winners, or we are more than victorious. We are more than conquerors, not because of the kind of car we are driving, not because of our bank accounts, not because of our 401k, not because of my job, not because I got the prettiest wife in this sanctuary, hallelujah, but it's because he loved us. If he never do another thing for me, maybe besides give me a boy, if he never do nothing else besides that, I mean, you understand, he has done enough. He has done enough for me to praise him. He has done enough for me to worship him. He has done enough for me to dance all night long. I don't need to wait till the battle is over. I can shout right now. Hallelujah. I don't need no prophecy to tell me God's going to bless me. Hallelujah. I thank God for it. I don't need a confirmation. I got all the confirmation I need. 31,273 confirmations tells me that we are more than conquerors
through him that loves us.
Please stand. We have to get this, church. I'm through reading some scriptures. We have to get this. I'm closing. You can stand, you can sit, you can lay down. We have to get this, church. Brother Hanson, we have to get this. We have to get this. We have to get past this pretense and this superficial joy and this external happiness and fulfillment. Because, church, I'm telling you, I'm not a prophet of doom. I don't think I'm a prophet at all, Brother Luma. I'm a preacher, a minister, or a brother in Christ, whatever you want to call me. But I know there are going to come the time, the Bible says that when everything can be shaken, will be shaken. I'm telling you, your job may be shaken. Your bank accounts may be shaken. Your finances may be shaken. Family members may be shaken. Your ability to be able to shop and eat where you want to eat may be shaken. But church, let me tell you one thing tonight. I can make one promise to you in the name of Jesus. With all of my heart, there is one thing, brother. We'll not be shaken. I don't care how many hurricanes come. I don't care how bad the economy do. I don't care if we about to face a double dip or a triple dip. The Bible says that everything shall pass away. Everything shall pass away. The Bible says the earth shall pass away. The Bible says the sun shall refuse to shine. But the word of God shall stand forever. See, I know y'all waiting for something else to shout. Hallelujah. But I'm happy that I abide in the word. I know y'all waiting for a punchline. I ain't got time for that. I'm happy that I abide in the word, and the word abide in me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I know y'all waiting for the good part. You waiting for the big sensational. But I'm happy that I abide in the word. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be given to you. I know I've been born again. If he don't do nothing else for me, I know my name has been written. Hallelujah. If you don't believe that I've been redeemed, follow me down to where I was baptized in the name of Jesus. Worship God right here, church. I wish someone right here. My time is up. Come on, church, right here, right now. Come on. I wish somebody would cry out to him. I know you're tired. I know you've had a long day, church. I know some of you are even sick in your bodies. I know you're facing opposition. I know you're facing trials. I know you have adversity. But I wish you would learn how to thrive and praise God right here and right now. Oh, that's it. For two more minutes. All I'm asking for is two more minutes of nothing but hand clapping and praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Right in my desert, I praise you, Lord. Right in my storm, I'm not just going to persist, but I'm going to dance in the middle of my storm. I'm going to clap my hands in the middle of my storm. I'm going to say hallelujah in the middle of my desert. I'm going to sing to Jesus even though I just lost my job. I can't pay my bills, but I'm going to worship. Oh, that's it, church. 30 more seconds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the name of Jesus. I'm going to thrive in the spirit. My car may be broke down. My car need work on it. Hallelujah, but I'm going to thrive in the spirit. Ah, yeah. Yeah. Jesus. Glory to the name of our God. Jesus. Hallelujah. Ha. Jesus. Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for speaking to us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to come together and assemble together corporately in worship and in praise. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to publicly and legally worship you, Lord. Lord, we understand there may be a time when we can't do this legally and publicly. But Lord, while you're giving us this opportunity, we're going to take advantage of it. We're going to worship you with all of our hearts. We're going to dance before you, Lord, even as David did. We're going to worship you not because of who you are, but in spite of who you are. Not because of what you can do, but because of your God, and beside you, there is no other. Hallelujah. Let your word abide in us, Lord. Ha, siti ni die bebe. Let your word abide in us, Lord. Jesus, touch every person in the sanctuary tonight. Every man and every woman. Every child, every boy and every girl. I pray the mercies of God and the peace of God be upon each and every one of us right now. In the name of Jesus, let this word, Lord, fall in our hearts. Jesus, that we can learn that whatever state that we're in, not only to be content, but to have a praise in our hearts, have a praise on our lips. In the name of Jesus, we pray. You are dismissed in the name of Jesus. I love you. The Lord bless you. Keep the ministry in prayer. We are having prayer tomorrow at the multi-purpose. Same time, 7 o'clock. Please be there.